and welcome to our next broadcast in this series on the Book of John. We're in broadcast number 14. We're going to be picking up again in chapter 8, verse number 10. Have your Bible ready. Find in chapter 8 that Jesus is in the temple. It's early in the morning. He's got a small remnant of people there who are interested enough to get up early in the morning and listen to what he has to say. The scribes and the Pharisees probably don't usually get up early in the morning, but they did this day because they had an opportunity to try and trap Jesus. They found a woman that was guilty of committing adultery, and so they interrupt this meeting, and these hypocrites come in, and they call him, "Master, Moses wrote and said that she should be put to death. What do you say?" And he just wrote on the ground, never said anything. He acted like he didn't hear them. They kept on asking him, so he wrote again, and as he did this the second time, they slithered away like some cockroaches do when they come to the light. And Jesus said, "I am the light," and he probably wrote some of their sins down there on that ground, and from the oldest to the youngest, they began to disappear. Well, we read then in verse number 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." We said on our last broadcast that it's very interesting that she was still there. She could have slipped away with everybody else, but she did not. And she called him Lord. Hopefully this is an indication that she received Christ as her Savior that day. I would think it was. Well, in any event, when we get to verse number 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them." Unto who? Well, unto those that he mentioned in verse number 2 who were there early in the morning and had come to listen to him teach them. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light thereof." Well, those cockroaches came to the light and they disappeared pretty fast. Well, probably looked at the beginning like all this turmoil was breaking up the meeting, but the Bible does say that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And they got a tremendous lesson that day as a result of this, and that was a lesson on how God harmonizes justice and mercy. You see, justice demands the law, but mercy, only God can get us out of the death penalty. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So we're all sentenced to the death penalty, but by the mercy of God, we can be forgiven. And to be justified, someone has said, is best described as just as if I'd never sinned. Well, in verse number 12, he's talking to this little group again, and he is speaking to specifically to them, and he says, "I am the light of the world." It's interesting that the word world is mentioned in the book of John 80 times. The world. Now he's talking to the whole world, all of it. Calvinism would say, well, just a select group. No, he is the light not of a select group. He is the light of the world. And the world has choices, and they can make choices contrary to Calvin's heresy. And if the light's there, they can choose the light or they can choose the darkness. Well, by the time we get down to verse number 13, we find some more Pharisees have been rounded up somehow. "And these Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, and thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came, and I know," he said, "whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go." "I know," he said, "but you can't tell." Well, in verse 13, these Pharisees had no problem coming to the Son of God and telling him that he simply straight out was a liar. They said that you bear record and your record is not true. Well, keep in mind that these Pharisees are trying to discredit Jesus in front of that little group that he's talking to. And he answered and said unto these Pharisees, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come or whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. He said, there's your two witnesses. Now, they said, you are not that light. Well, Jesus said, I know what I'm doing, and you don't know what you're doing. You Pharisees, you are judging in the flesh. And so I think we need to learn to be very aggressive and not to be timid about what we know. There's a lot of things that we know. You want an interesting study? Study how many times Paul the Apostle said, I know whom I am believing, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He said, I know, many times, and we need to stand up and say what we know. Well, we need a little bit of an explanation here, I think. In John 8 and 13, they said, thou bearest record of thyself, and thy record is not true. Well, Jesus had said back in John 5 and 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. That's the word witness and record are the same Greek word. So let me repeat them again. Jesus said in John 5 and 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. The Pharisees came to him and said basically the same thing. Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Well, you have to look at these verses in their context. And so the context of all of this, if you look at it carefully, you'll find the word Father is in the book of John 126 times, and 117 of those times has a capital F on the word Father, meaning it is talking about the Father of Jesus Christ and our Father, God the Father. In John chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. In fact, he used the phrase my Father specifically 30 times in the book of John. Now, there you have the context. Now, in verse 14, he said, my record is true. He said in John 5 and 31, if I bear record of myself, meaning without God my Father being a part of it, my record is not true if I bear record of myself. But he's not bearing record of himself. He went on to say in John 10 verse 30, I and my Father are one. We are one. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. But if I bear witness with my Father, my witness is true. He said, my record is true. And then he went on to say, I know whence I came, and I know where I'm going. John chapter 16 and verse 28, he said, I came forth from the Father, and I came unto the world, and again I leave the world, and I go to my Father. Now we see here, in all of this, that he basically said to them, you can't even begin to comprehend this. He said, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. And he said, I judge no man. That is, I judge no man after the flesh. That is the context of this whole thing. In verse number 16, he said, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Notice that he says, it is written in your law that two witnesses are true. It's not God's law anymore. They have so corrupted it with the things that they have added and added and added to the so-called law, and then accused Jesus of being guilty of stuff that wasn't really in the law. It was stuff that they had put in the law. Well, we read in verse number 18, I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. There's your two witnesses for you, fellas. Well, verse 19, we find again, they have absolutely no comprehension whatsoever. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Can you imagine such a stupid question after all of this stuff being explained about him and God, him and his Father? Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Now, why does he say something here about the treasury? Interesting. Verse 20. Let me read it again. It says here, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and goes on to say, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Well, in the treasury, in this area, there was a group of bronze chests. There was 9 of them there, which money was put in, tax money, actually. They taxed the people to come and worship. And then they had another 4 of these bronze chests, and they were for what they called a free will offering. And all of this is in what they called the court of the woman. Now, that is why they could bring this woman that they said was guilty of adultery into that area. She would not be allowed to go in some of the areas of the temple, but this was called the court of the women, and they could bring her in here and, of course, upset this meeting. And it was by no chance whatsoever that Jesus was teaching this group of people in that particular area at that particular time. Well, in verse number 20, again, these words spake Jesus as in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. No man laid hands on him. You know, it's such an interesting thing that over and over again they tried to get him and they couldn't get him. Nobody can hurt a Christian who is in the center of the will of God. You have this story back there in the Old Testament that we mentioned before, where David was running for his life for 14 years from Saul, and Saul couldn't find him. He couldn't find him anywhere. And yet we see that David's mom and dad found him. We see over and over again that the men, he finally ended up with 600 of them. They found him. Jonathan could find him whenever he wanted to, but Saul couldn't find him. Why? Because no man can touch you. If you are in the center of the will of God, that is the safest place on this earth to be. Well, he says here in verse number 21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye seek me, and shall die in your sins, for whither I go, ye cannot come. What an awesome statement. He said, I go my way. The phrase I go is found 21 times in the book of John, and that is exactly what Jesus did. He went exactly where he was supposed to go, when he was supposed to go, regardless of who was trying to kill him. The phrase I go my way is only found twice in the book of John. It's found here in our text in John 8 and 21, and then it's also found again in John 16, verse number 5. It says, now I go my way to him that sent me, and he is telling the disciples that he would soon be going back to heaven. Well, again, we see these people that had absolutely no comprehension of what he was talking about. Verse 22, then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. They just had absolutely no comprehension. Now, you can't teach people who don't have a comprehension. Years ago, one of our members here from our church was a missionary, him and his wife, and they were in the jungle in Venezuela, ministering to the Kua Indians, or the Yanomama Indians in Kua. And the Yanomama Indians, even today, are the most vicious tribe known to man. Anyway, they were in there, and I was there twice for a week at a time with these people, and it's a very, very interesting trip. But Gary, our missionary, he would have a major time, very frustrating, trying to teach them simple things that they did not have any comprehension of. For example, they did not have any comprehension of the word appreciation. And so he would try to teach them that they needed to appreciate things. Well, you might as well say to somebody in Canada, you need to joogie jagalugu things. What's joogie jagalugu? I have no comprehension of that. No, neither do I. But these Indians, that was just as strange for Gary to go in there and say, you need to learn about appreciation. They had absolutely no idea what that was. In fact, when they left after many years of helping them and saving their children, Sarah's, Gary's wife was a nurse. She saved their children. When they left, a couple of Indians came down to say goodbye, and the rest were up in her hut fighting over what was left in the hut. No comprehension whatsoever of appreciation. Well, they weren't any more dumb than these religious people who were working in the temple, supposed to be leading God's people, and they had absolutely no comprehension of what Jesus was trying to teach them. Well, we'll get on with this again tomorrow. We're out of time again. Tune in again tomorrow. We'll try to make it plain and we'll try to make it simple.